Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Voices. And we're very wonderfully privileged again today to have a former guest on my show that has so much wonderful information to share with us. And actually, my previous guests that I had on earlier the last couple of weeks, it ties right in with what the content of those shows were, because this, once again, is Debbie Reynolds, not the Debbie Reynolds of movie star famous, but she is Debbie Reynolds, who has a PhD. She's a nurse practitioner. She's got all these wonderful letters after her name, and she received her Master's of Science in nursing from the University of Nebraska Medical Center. But her specialty areas are family practice, psychiatry, and functional anti-aging medicine. She trained in a dual-track program that emphasized holistic care by treating the patient's physical and psychological needs simultaneously. So she's a board-certified psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, a family nurse practitioner, and, as I said, a functional anti-aging medicine specialist. So, of course, right in line with what Dr. Gary Null does. So her wonderful background offers us so many beautiful aspects of how we can keep ourselves healthy and happy and wise. So with that, please let's welcome Debbie Reynolds. Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
Hi, Kathleen. So great to see you again. It's always awesome to meet with you. We have so many things to talk about.
We sure do. And so today's emphasis, I would like to, I had Ronnie Johnson, who was also a nurse practitioner, and I had Reynolds, but her name is England. And they both had health conditions relative to the attention that I want to give on today's podcast. And one of them had a cancer growing in her tongue. And even as a nurse practitioner, she wasn't quite sure what was going on with her. But that show was relating to our ability, and I know you know about this, to tune into our own intuition. And that show had aspects. She had had a dream, and she had been going to her doctor about this pain in her tongue, but he said, oh, it's just strep throat, and it wasn't no big deal. Then she had a dream, Debbie, and in the dream it said, if you don't get to a doctor and get this handled today, you're going to die. And through a number of situations where one after another, she made certain calls and it literally did save her life. So the focus of that show is about our intuition. And I know that you're very much in tune with your own intuition. And of course, now, you know, we've had to survive and you've had to deal with the COVID issues and all of the, you know, now they're, you know, touting a new version. And so today's focus, I would like us to have on our immune system. Are you up for that, Miss?
Oh, that sounds great. And your timing is perfect because, as you know, as fall comes into the picture, the colds and the flu, including COVID-19, tends to get worse. And so it's a perfect time to talk about our immune system and how we can empower ourselves to keep our immune system surveillance fine-tuned and to give our body what it needs. And I've always said that no one knows you better than you. So that intuition, that listening to your intuition is really important too. So when you know that your body is out of balance, that you don't wait until you get sick to do something about it, you keep your body balanced and strong so that you can fight off whatever infection, whatever microbe is out there. And, you know, we're swimming in this quantum soup of microbes. And so we're always come in contact with microbes. Now it's the ability of our immune system to be able to stay strong, to not get sick whenever we are around someone who is sick. I mean, you don't know. You can go to the grocery store and standing next to someone in line and they may be positive for COVID-19 or or some kind of cold or flu. You don't know. And so we don't want to promote fear. We want to promote empowerment and keeping ourselves healthy.
Well, you know, that's, it seems to be our best defense overall. And I know some of the aspects that came up, and one that was very weird and interesting to me, I'll see after this, but I know D3, they showed that most of the people that became very ill and even died were low in D3, correct?
Yes, that is so true. And every one of my patients, whether they're new and coming to me for the first time, or I've been seeing them for decades, I always keep track of their vitamin D3 level, because that is one of the best defense systems that you can use, is either getting out in the sunlight every day, which I do recommend, if possible, get out in the sunlight at least 20 or 30 minutes every day. Sunshine is good for you. Now, you know, we've been programmed to think that the sun is bad, and we slather ourselves with sunscreen and avoid the sun, but a little bit of sunshine is really crucial for our health. But there are those people that live in areas of the world, like I'm in Nebraska right now, and in the wintertime, we don't get much sunshine, and it's too cold to be outside. So it's important to take supplemental vitamin D3. And I do think it's important to keep your numbers either in the mid to upper quartile range, which is about 75. And I see people that come to me that, you know, they're in the teens, they're less than 20. I've had people less than 10 on their vitamin D3.
Oh, dear.
That are not in the sun, or they don't absorb, you know, the vitamin D. There are certain genetics types that don't absorb it from the sun or through their food. So it's crucial that they take it. And sometimes they don't absorb it very well, so they have to take higher levels. And since it's a fat-soluble vitamin, you need to get your level done at least once a year.
Mm-hmm. To check it. Yeah. I had another practitioner that told me that she actually lays naked. And I guess not everybody can do that either, in the sun for 20 minutes to, you know, to supply her body.
Yes, it's important. And even for our eyes to be out in the sunshine is important too, without sunglasses. You know, we all have the habit of wearing sunglasses all the time, but just getting a little bit of light into our retina can promote better sleep at night. And, you know, as far as having a good immune system, you want to be sleeping well at night too. So that's always important, to get 7 or 8 hours sleep per night. And so the melatonin, serotonin, they're on the same pathway. And so getting at least a little bit of sunlight in your eyes, not looking directly at the sun, but being out in the sunshine is important too.
Wow.
For full skin exposure, which a lot of us, many times the only thing that gets sun is our face, you know, depending on where you're living. So yeah, she's lucky that she can go out in privacy and get full sun.
If she's got a backyard where people can't look in. I tend to wear sunglasses all the time when I'm out. That's the first thing I grab when I get in the car. So that's a good tip for sure.
Mm-hmm. Just a few minutes is all it takes. And it helps with that circadian rhythm. And, you know, a lot of times people don't even get outside at all during the day. And they're under many times fluorescent lights. And just the natural light is important. But then also you want to have sunglasses if you're outside a lot, because then, you know, that protects your eyes from the sun too, which your eye doctor is always reminding me anyway, mm-hmm. to do that. So, just a little
Speaking
bit.
Speaking of which, you know, now Biden ruled that we can only have LED lights. No more other, you know, nothing but LED lights can be manufactured. So I have certain friends who are very sensitive to the adversity of LED, and they're scampering around trying to find what's left it's called incandescent lights.
Yeah. Where, I did not realize that they ruled that. Many people that the LED and the fluorescence can trigger migraines. So,
yeah, I mean, I can't, why would they do that? I mean, some of these things that they're perpetrating on us are just completely bewildering to me.
That's the importance of people waking up to their own consciousness and talking about, you know, listening to your intuition is important because, you know, there's some crazy things going on in the world and many times you can't even make sense out of it. So it's important to listen to your intuition and do what you're called to do. And I've always said that, you know, even before things got crazy, you know, your intuition can never serve you wrong. So when you hear something crazy going on in the world, you don't have to be a part of it, but you can do what you can so that it doesn't affect you.
Yeah, that, like I said, you know, the last week's podcast was all about, you know, that ability for us. Now, you know, so many of us who are and have been, you know, I have been all my life highly intuitive because, you know, I've spoken many times about my precognitive dreams and, you know, Gary Null has that as well. So there are lots of us who have those things and are more or less considered weird in the family structure. Okay, I'll own it. I'm definitely weird and I'm happy to be that. But
I like to call it unique.
Unique is good.
And unique is good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my family back there in Wisconsin labels it weird. So that's why I giggle about it all the time. But I think that you know, and I think that you and I in one of our podcasts, we talked about, you know, strengthening our ability to have that intuition and to have the ability to really tune into our own bodies and check in, you know. Yeah.
Tuning in and, you know, tuning in, if you think of yourself as being a light being, which means that we do radiate light, and actually our pineal gland is like an antenna. We pick up on things. And all of us have that intuitive ability to tap into, I call it divine energy. You can call it whatever you call it, doesn't matter. It's not a religious thing, but we all have the ability to tune into that and get answers. And so, no, if you're confused about something, you don't look outside of yourself for answers. You close your eyes and you tune inside, and that's where the magic is. That's where the answers are. Not only to your health, but questions that you have about your life and the world. That's where we need to go for our answers. And so what if people think we're weird if we're not doing what the masses of the population are? We're not sheep. We're unique individuals. And what's right for one person may not be right for you or for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think with these current very kind of stressful and weird, I will call it weird, conditions in the world, I think perhaps many people are looking toward developing that aspect in them, again, for, you know, some solace out of the insanity that they, you know, it just can make people crazy because it's like, you know, people don't know how to handle it. You know, many people are really going over the edge because it's just a little too much to comprehend about, you know, people are not sure what to do. And I'm hoping that many people will gravitate in that direction of going inside. I just spent a wonderful few days with some longtime friends, and both Kevin and Karen Lawrence, who I've known for, oh gosh, it seems like my whole life. And, you know, they really, both of them in their own unique way, have created a wonderful life for themselves, utilizing that ability to move into that God space, the source space, and really understanding how to function effectively in our world as mm-hmm. a human being. And, you know, they both meditate. And I know you start your day every day with that. And you've often said it doesn't matter what meditation method you use, you know, just do something. And I asked Kevin about that as well. I said, what do you do? And he kind of answered the same way you did when I talked to you about it last time. is just tune in to that God source that you have available, and see what your day should be created like. Both Kevin and Karen are very much in tune with their own body, you know. And I think that, unfortunately, many people simply are not. They just, you know, I know for myself, if I start to get the slightest little sore throat, and friends of mine too, the same, boy, I'm on it with every arsenal in my cabinet that I've got. Out comes the elderberry and the D3 and the zinc and the, you know, everything that I have to get it from, stop it from getting a grip on me.
Yes. And that's, you know, today's podcast is all about that, empowering people to have those tools in their toolbox to tap into, but also to know yourself and those symptoms that you were talking about, the little scratchy throat, being fatigued, you can feel it coming on. I'm the same way. If I catch it early enough, I don't get sick. And, you know, I believe that stress is the number one killer. And so, you know, you started to go into that, what, you know, the world is crazy right now. And so if we can keep that center within ourselves and try not to let that affect us, then we can stay balanced and stay in that parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest and restore, which is a healing environment versus the stressful environment. When you're in that sympathetic response, the fight or flight, your body can't heal. So if you do come in contact with a microbe and you start feeling sick, if you can't get into that rest and restore and have those nutrients and be able to get some rest and some sleep, you will probably get sick. So that's what we need to be educating people, that they need to have those things available. And I take my supplements every day. I know a lot of people don't like to take supplements every day, but then those same people should try to eat a nutrient dense diet, because that's really what our bodies were intended to do, was eat those really nutrient fresh fruits and vegetables and the food that we have growing on this earth. But many times, a lot of people don't have that kind of food available. Organic food is hard to get in some places of the world.
Yeah, and if they are, you know, then, you know, they can be quite pricey. And then, you know, all of it, it really does depend where you live. You know, like back home, I recently, as you know, had traveled back home to Wisconsin, and I was pretty surprised at the prices in their supermarkets, because, you know, they're all little small towns. Mm-hmm. The city, you probably have a better chance to find, you know, seek out places that have good organic, clean food. But in a lot of places in America, it's not quite the case, you know. And I don't want to assume that my listeners all know, you know, everything that the reference points that we have. Would you explain a little bit more about what you had just expressed about, you know, your parasympathetic system and those two things that can go south if you're not careful, and, you know, where and how that can be managed if possible?
Sure. Yeah. And so a lot of people don't have that science background, so they're not sure what that means. And so, for example, there's a lot of people that are experiencing fatigue now and they don't know why. And so that can be adrenal fatigue. And the adrenal glands have to do with the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And so when your adrenal glands are healthy and you experience stress, whether it's somebody chasing you or, you know, you're stressed out at work and you have deadlines to meet, you get that adrenaline rush, which, you know, was the same back in, you know, our ancestry when a wild animal was chasing us. Well, same thing with today's stress. It doesn't matter what kind of stress, it's the same response. You get an adrenaline rush. Then that helps you to either freeze, fight, or flight. And so then once the stressor is over, then the stress levels, cortisol, DHEA, they go down to normal. And then life goes on and your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in. So you're not stressed out anymore. You don't have the rapid heart rate. You don't feel stressed. So it was that balance. You have it when you need it, when you're in danger, but then it goes back to parasympathetic rest and restore when the threat is over. Well, the problem is with chronic stress, which is what a lot of people are dealing with today, it's constant. It's all the time. They constantly feel the tight muscles, maybe headache, maybe lack of sleep, adrenaline, you know, running through their body all the time with high cortisol levels. That's catabolic. It breaks down the body. It breaks down muscle. It breaks down, it makes your body acidic. It makes your body inflamed versus the parasympathetic, which is rest and restore. That's when you feel relaxed. You don't have those inflammatory markers and, you know, cortisol and all of that being high. It's more of a resting state. And so that's what we want ideally throughout our day, unless, you know, you're preparing for a marathon or something like that. There's always times when you need a little adrenaline. And when I interview my patients during consultations, and I ask subjective markers. I ask people, what is your stress level on a scale of 0 to 10? For example, you know, an anxiety level of 10 would be a panic attack, whereas 0 would be none. You're just, you know, like a Buddhist monk, that you're just so relaxed that there's nothing that can get to you. Well, most people don't have a 0. Usually, you don't have time to just sit and relax all day. There's always some certain deadline. So most people, average anxiety would be maybe a 2. That's enough to motivate you, maybe to prepare for a test or prepare for the next challenge. But it's not enough to put you in a chronic stress. So anything over a 5 is too much anxiety or too much stress. So that's a way you can learn to tune in. I ask people sometimes those numbers, and many times people will tell me, I don't know how I feel. Well, sometimes they get disconnected from their body. So they know they don't feel good, but they don't know why necessarily, or they don't know why they feel bad. So learning that those are just symptoms, but it's your body's way of talking to you. And I heard this saying one time about functional medicine, that, you know, at first your body whispers to you when something's wrong. There's that little nagging thing. It's whispering you, telling you something's wrong. But then if you don't listen, then it starts to yell at you. It might scream at you. Maybe your muscle is so tight that you can't even hardly stand it. It's hurting so bad, whereas before it was just a mild ache. Well, then if you don't listen, then it will knock you over the head with a 2x4, knock you down, and then you have to listen. So you don't want to not listen to those subtle little whispers that your body is saying something's wrong. So that's, you know, the saying that pain can be our greatest teacher. It tells you something. It tells you something's not right. So that's how we can listen and tune in and know that. And most people can tell when, you know, like they're on the hamster wheel, they're constantly running, they're going here and there, and they're stressed out, and they never have any rest, and they just feel like they can't ever get out of that cycle. Then they run into sleep problems. And, you know, so stress and lack of sleep can be the two top things that knock down your immune system.
Boy, that's right on the money. And my guess is, I'd hate to think of the percentage of people who are listening that have issues with both of those things. You know?
Yeah, and the biggest problem is they don't know quite what to do about it. Yeah, because they might be in a job where they're working 60 hours a week. They don't feel like they can work less. They might be in a bad relationship. They might have an illness that they're not quite sure what it is, and maybe the doctors can't figure it out. So, you know, I would say get back to the basics. you know, I've told you before that one of the best things that I have done recently over the last year, I'm not connected with the company or anything, but it's the Oura Ring to track my sleep and my activity. Heart rate variability is one of the ways that you can track whether or not you're in sympathetic response or parasympathetic response. So, and we have the Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch, for me, it's awkward for me to wear it at night to track my sleep. But those are tools that you can have in your toolbox that you can assess yourself and know what's going on. Many times people will tell me that they're not sleeping, but they don't know if it's because they're not getting down into deep sleep, they're not able to get REM sleep, or if they're tossing and turning all night. And the nice thing about it is this has probes on it. It'll tell you what your O2 saturation is. It might be because they're snoring. There's lots of different reasons for not sleeping. So that's what I like to do, is empower people to take charge of their own health. Many times people know what they need to do, but they don't do it.
That's so true.
Yeah. So we know we need to exercise, but many times we're too busy. But this ring will actually give you an alert on the app. You need to stretch your legs. You need to get up and walk. Yeah. So there's technology now here that can help us, because if you're, for example, mitochondria dysfunction actually can really hinder your immune system, which can lead to cancer, which you had talked about in the first part of the show. And that's really important to have healthy mitochondria. Well, exercise is really important for your mitochondria because it produces ATP. If you ingest food, and with food and oxygen, your mitochondria makes energy, makes the ATP. If you don't use it, guess what? They have to recycle it. So then you don't get to use that ATP. So if you get into an exercise routine to use that, it's a healthier way to use your energy. So for me, I always wondered most of my life, whenever I feel fatigued, but yet if I do exercise, I always feel better. And it doesn't have to be vigorous exercise. It can just be walking around the block that can actually help you. The people that are suffering from long COVID now, if they just get up and walk, even if for 5 or 10 minutes, it's doing something. It's helping that cycle. So that can help too. And if they exercise even a little bit, and I recommend 60 minutes a day, and it can be in 10-minute increments if they are fatigued, that will help their sleep at night. So those are things that individuals can do on their own to empower themselves to stay healthy and well.
Well, it's interesting because you said if you feel tired, most people, if they feel tired, they want to lay down. Yes. You're saying get up and walk around, even if it's around the block, and that helps.
And then if they're still tired, then they can lay down on the couch after they take that walk around the block. It's going to strengthen them and improve their health. And it has shown for people with chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID that just that little bit of exercise, it may not seem like much, but it does help.
Well, again, when I'm just so fresh from being with my friends, and what was evident with both Kevin and Karen is they had the support of really amazing practitioners, including a very unique chiropractic technique that Kevin Lawrence told me about. And he was like, you can't do that. Cause I would, he says, I hope they don't crack your neck. Like, the old chiropractic methods that were, and I said, well, oh yeah. He said, don't do that. And then he went into this whole, of course he's in the health industry. So he went into these illustrious examples of why that wasn't good for me to
do. It always makes me cringe when I see that done.
You do?
Yes.
Well,
I know a lot of people love it and say it works, so to each their own, but I've never liked that aggressive way of cracking the neck. Makes me cringe.
He goes to someone who does what's called the NUCCA, N-U-C-C-A, and he urged me to find out, about that technique, where that's not what they do. They don't crack your neck. And, you know, years ago I'd gone to someone where he just muscle tested and did just very like interesting work. I mean, there are so many ways that you can, address the well-being of your body and mind and your whole being. But most people really do not have a partnership. You know, there, a lot of people have their, doctor that they go to or whatever, but you and I, and Gary for sure, Gary Null, are not overly impressed with the broken conditions that we call our medical, methods.
Yeah, I call it a sick care system. They're really good at identifying and diagnosing illness, and then it's disease management rather than getting to the root and promoting healing.
Yes.
The intelligence of the body.
Right. I think that one of the things that most people still, I mean, many more are aware of it, but, having the kind of partnership with people like you, who are partnering with you to keep your body well, so that you're not falling into that kind of broken system. I mean, it's just so scary to think, once you're having cancer or I've lost many friends, sadly, and now even more so, you don't want to be in the hands of a system that really is not designed for your well-being. It just, I mean, we don't have to go into detail about that. And I'm remiss. Please tell people where they can reach you and engage your, I know you have a pretty full roster, but people can look to you for their health and well-being through even a Zoom system for your care, correct?
So correct. I am taking on a few new clients, but I do travel between three states. And so much of my practice is telemedicine, but when I am in each state, I can see people in person too. So if it's not urgent, they can wait until I arrive at that particular state. I'm licensed in Nebraska, Arizona, and Hawaii. So any of those?
Oh, I didn't know Hawaii too.
Yeah. Since 2019, that's where I got my PhD, was in Hawaii. So I've been licensed there ever since. I lived in Hawaii most of 2019. So, but then COVID, with travel, slowed that down. So I'm not going over there as much as I once did. Mm-hmm. So it's mostly between Arizona and Nebraska. So, but telemedicine, I think, video conference calls are almost as good as being in person. And I think people are
definitely
more in tune with that now. It's easier so they don't have to commute and travel and so that would work. And my schedule is somewhat booked, but there's always room for me to get someone else in if they can wait.
Mm-hmm. And your website is Holistic Harmony Healthcare, correct?
It's DebbieReynoldsNP.com. And I have a supplement website that's HolisticHarmonyUSA.com that is still in the works, but it is live now. And my original practice, because I've lived in Nebraska all my life, about 60 years, it was HolisticNebraska.com. And so that website is still available too, but my newest one is DebbieReynoldsNP.com.
And like nurse, right?
Nurse practitioner, yeah. And
yes.
Holistic Harmony is my healthcare business that I incorporated in 2006.
Beautiful.
So that name has remained the same.
Well, you and I have talked about doing some workshops. And I'm so excited that, you have included Arizona as one of your states so that, we can spend time together and design something where, a lot of people can come and be part of an overview. Dr. Ann Consorti, who is also another dear friend. I've had her on my show a number of times, and we had talked about doing some workshops, but she moved to Texas, not far from Gary Null and his beautiful estate there in Mineola. But, you know, I think that it's really important to be able to offer a formatting, a system that is designed to really support your lifestyle, to have a lifestyle that supports your health and well-being. And I just think that most people out there still, you know, I know a lot of people are now listening to podcasts like mine and others that are out there that deliver very pertinent and valuable information. Of course, Gary Null has his show every day, Monday through Friday. And, you know, and some people listen every day religiously to learn things that will empower their health and well-being. But I think that having, and, you know, Gary has a lot of weekend workshops, and he does a lot of lectures in person. But I would really like to see what we can put together and have people be able to attend here in our beautiful Sedona in the Red Rocks. Not a bad place to come to, to learn.
It's such healing energy in Sedona, and I'm really excited to do a workshop with you. And I really believe, too, that people need to get out of their stressful environment into a healing environment with like-minded people that they can learn and be empowered on how to take that home so they can learn those techniques and then take them home so they can practice it at home. And, you know, and then what we could do is build on each one so that they can come back and, you know, do it quarterly so that they're learning a little bit more each time.
I think that's so critically important. Years ago, I was very involved, I think, you know, in the human potential movement years ago. And there were always ongoing programs so that we stayed connected and have the ability, you know, to reconnect with people that we felt a resonance with. And there were many people, and, you know, like Jean Bolin talked about, she's had support groups that she had for over 25 years, and talked about the importance of how the impact of knowing that you had that core group, that you know, if you had a problem or a challenge or death in the family or a divorce or a death that was, you know, just something you couldn't heal from, that support system was critically important to, you know, the passage of these events in our lives, and knowing that we have a place where it's safe for you to know that there are those that can hear you. And sometimes it's just about being heard and knowing that if there is input, sometimes you don't want input in a certain critical time in your life. But other times input is very important. Because right now, I think one of the things that's critical is our ability to share pertinent information as it comes, because there's constantly, I mean, you love to learn. You're always looking for something more that you can dive into.
Wow, that is so true. And I will be clear up until the time I take my last breath. I learn something new every day.
Yeah, and I know you're one of those that doesn't want to turn on the TV. I have a few of those people in my life.
No, there's not much time for TV in my life. Right. However, I do like a good movie every now and then.
Yeah. Well, I've, of course, come from an entertainment background, and you know, my objective, I am going back into production with the idea of producing films, documentaries, things that, even short films, that can impact people in a positive way.
That's my favorite, is documentaries.
Yes.
they tell a story and it educates at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin and Karen and I, they took me to the movies, a movie called The Hill, which was about this preacher's son whose passion was to play baseball. And yet he grew up with a condition where he had to wear braces on his legs the first, you know, years of his life until he was even like 12 years old. And then he just decided to take them off and start walking. And his dad was so afraid of his condition that he would not allow his son to play baseball. And yet he had this gift. And other, you know, men that saw it kept urging his father, you know, to allow him to play baseball. And he was just so afraid for his son's well-being. And he instead wanted his son to be a minister and follow in his footsteps. So it was a very worthwhile docudrama, is, you know, what those are, but based on a true story.
Yeah, we can learn a lot from other people's lives and learn a lot from different documentaries. And it's in story form. Everybody likes a good story.
Yes.
So it's a fun way to learn.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the process of the film, he did play baseball. He actually made it. His dream was to be in the majors. And so he played in the majors for 4 years until his spine finally gave out on him. You know, and I've got shivers just talking about it. But, you know, just and his, he broke his leg because his legs were brittle. You know, all these things that were, you know, basically miracles that he managed to overcome. And still, you know, live the life that he wanted, despite the interference.
Despite the odds. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so in a certain way, I can apply that even today. We have a lot of interference. We have a lot to overcome. And when we can approach those things with a passion and with a drive and with that energy of, I can do this no matter what, and have cheerleaders around you that say, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Then, yeah. And finding your own tribe, the tribe that you resonate with, and, you know, it's like a family and that's what I would like to create with our workshops too, that, we have a group that is there to support, and we're there to learn, and we're there to create our own best story, our own best documentary.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good way, you know, to say it. In fact, you know, I've written, you know, 5 books and edited many more here in Arizona, one of which is about the, you know, the biography of Bob Bradshaw, who had come here in 1945 when there were 300 people in Sedona and everybody went to the well for water, you know.
Isn't that amazing? And it's come a long way.
A long way. And a lot of times I, you know, when I sign my books, I don't just sign my name. I say something. I talk to the people about, you know, how my connection with them is. And that's one of the things that I say to them, you know, so come back to Arizona and create your own movie history, your own story. And because we all have one.
And, yeah, we do. And those groups, they're powerful. I think I mentioned on another talk that we had, the power, Lynn McTaggart has written several books on that subject, how just even small groups of people getting together, we empower each other and encourage each other and help us actually to manifest our dream even faster when we meet together, either, you know, but virtually or in person. We empower each other to manifest those dreams just by the intention of holding that intention for the other person, which I think is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Ricky Hill, that, you know, that was the baseball player, his brother, his older brother, held that dream with him. So, you know, wherever two might gather. So it's in the Bible, and we know that this is true. And we've seen the demonstration of it. If you just pay attention, you know, I mean, so many people don't pay attention. You know, it's like I was driving in today and, you know, I'm in California. I just came from California. California drivers are absolutely, oh my God, I lived there. You know, they're crazy. I mean, they're just, you know, I was driving in the number three lane and this car, I had like one space of a car in front of me. And this car on the left, fourth lane, zips through and right in front of me and through all three lanes to get in an exit all the way on the right. And I'm going, Lord above, thank you for not having me turn into a crushed little ball of metal for this crazy person that, you know, drives like this.
Yes.
You know, and so I do tend to drive a little bit fast. And I'm very annoyed because every day I have to drive on this two-lane highway where there's lots of construction, you know, and I'm always in a hurry to get to somewhere. And this truck I was driving behind, so I'm always passing on a two-lane road, right? And the truck in front of me says carries a heavy load. And it says, and big bold letters, please drive so that you don't kill yourself and me. A billboard says, okay, thank you, God. That must be a message for me today, right? So, you know, and if we pay attention all around us,
there's signs everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. If you just pay attention.
And that's being in the moment, and that's training the mind. And that's what meditation is all about. Whatever, you know, just being in the moment and taking that time each morning and each evening just to tune in and be in the moment. Or it doesn't even have to be sitting with your eyes closed. It can be going for a walk and being in the moment. It's just every day in life can be a meditation. Every moment in life, just being in the moment and not being stuck in your head or thinking about yesterday or what you're going to be doing tomorrow.
Yeah. It's interesting because even in my acting technique that I teach, you know, again, coming from the entertainment industry, and your best performances, and I work very hard to get people in this acting technique to get to the place where they are just in the moment, because it's hard. Most people don't really know what that means. A lot of terms that we throw out and think we know. It took me years to actually have a depth of understanding about certain phrases like that, being in the moment. I think that, I mean, do you teach mindfulness?
I do. I've done several different trainings on it. I trained with Deepak Chopra, so I do primordial sound meditation. I'm a Kundalini yoga teacher, so I teach Kundalini yoga meditations. There's mindfulness meditation. There's pro-consciousness meditation. So there's many different techniques, but there's very simple technique, and that's just being present. And it's hard to do if you're not trained, because many of us are daydreaming most of the time. I have kind of a cute example. I hadn't been bowling for 20 years. And so recently I went bowling with two of my children and my grandchild and a friend. And I kind of got back into it, but it wasn't consistent. I go from throwing a gutter ball to, you know, getting nine balls. And I said, okay, I think what I need to do is just keep it simple and down the middle. And so I walked up there and I wasn't in my head. I was in the present moment, and I threw a strike. And it was, and so then my daughter was right after me. She goes, I'm going to do that too, Mom. And so she did it and she threw a strike. And then my grandchild was after that and he threw a strike. And it was so magical. And my daughter, she said, we've got some really good energy going on right now. And I said, you know, it's just so simple, but we make it more difficult than what, and that's just a bowling game, but it was kind of an analogy of life. If we just get out of our head, relax and be present in the moment and keep it simple, life is so much better and it's so much more magical and it's so much more fun.
And don't we just live for the magical moments? But see, what you did is you created an example for them to merge and match with. My friend Michelle, who was on also on my show recently, she always talks about merging and matching with the energy that you prefer.
Yes.
So what your kids did,
it was contagious. My son actually got up right after my grandson. So it was four of us, four strikes in a row. And
that
was a divine moment. And that was the mantra the rest of the time. Keep it simple down the middle.
My goodness. What a good story. And a perfect example of how, you know, just in the course of living, you can have that, a demonstration of our own ability to create in such a powerful way. Yeah, I love that story.
Yes, and being in the present moment, that's all we have. We don't have tomorrow. We don't necessarily have the next moment. Something could happen, but we have right now. And how many of us don't appreciate that?
Yeah.
I know sometimes I am just so busy that the day is gone. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I have been just really kind of in my head all day without enjoying the moment. So we do need to take breaks in our work and in our everyday life to just stop and appreciate the moment for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's almost it's like we need to coach each other, whoever's close to us in our lives, you know, to be able to, you know, trust the input that comes from those that we've chosen to have in our lives, and to know that you can count on them for those things.
Yeah. And I always call those people my angels. You know,
we're all
angels here on earth, and we're here to help each other. And, you know, back to our original topic with the immune system, that stress is always the number one thing that is the biggest detriment to your immune system, is if you are having a lot of stress in your life. So if we can have each other to support each other, and then also empower each other to live a conscious, healthy life. And that's what I'm so excited about with our workshops that we're going to start in Sedona this spring.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, it is challenging in the sense that, you know, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I come from an Italian family where, I mean, all we did was work. I mean, it was from the time I was a little girl, we just worked incessantly. There was never a day off. My father never slept a whole night's rest. He would sit in his chair and take a nap and then get up and keep going.
My dad was from that era too. And I remember having that same work ethics. I have been working since I was 14 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, how do we, those of us that are doers, it's not going to change. How do we create that balance that we've talked about today?
I believe that for us doers that are used to, you know, just kind of burning the candle at both ends, you need to write relaxation and, mindfulness things in your daily schedule, just like you would your exercise, or just like you would your appointments that you need to go to. I was talking to a group of women, professional women. This was about 15 years ago. I did a talk in Omaha to a group of highly professional women. And that's what I challenged them to do, was take an hour each day to do nothing. And they just looked at me like, you know, deers in the headlight, like, that's impossible. You're crazy.
Right.
But it's
good luck.
We need time in our schedule to do nothing, just to have that space that you don't have to be producing something or doing something. You just have nothing to do. And then you can fill it with whatever. You can fill it with a walk. You can just sit and do nothing, but just have a blank schedule for at least an hour. I challenge everyone to do that.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know what? That's about the best closing tip that we could possibly have, because, you know, I always love, you know, the purpose of Wise Women podcast is to empower anybody listening to us, male or female. But you know, we women are wise. So you guys that are listening, listen up. And that's a wonderful tip to leave with. I mean, we had a lot of things that I think people can take away from our show. I always love having you on because I know we're going to deliver the goods. But, you know, I do hope that people can reach out to you. And most definitely, when we start doing, you know, our workshops, weekend workshops that we create, the invitation definitely will be there for as many people as possible, you know, to come, male and female, to embrace the wisdom that we have to share and help empower their lives. Because I know when they come and when they leave, they won't be the same. That I know.
I agree. And it can be for any age. I think we need to be teaching children how to take care of themselves holistically.
Definitely. In fact, you know, I teach kids as well in my acting classes. And a lot of times I will include children with adults because I feel adults can learn from children. And certainly the children, you know, can learn from adults. So, yes, indeed. Well, once again, I thank you so much for being a guest on Wise Women. And I look forward to an exciting time with you for the rest of my life with you, Ms. Debbie Reynolds.
And thank you so much, Kathleen. Yeah. It's always a pleasure to get together with you. So definitely. I hope to see you soon.
I certainly expect that. Yes. And well, with that, everybody, I wish you well for the rest of the week. This is Kathleen Francis with Wise Women saying take good care this week. Have a wonderful time with your family and learning new things. So I'm Kathleen Francis saying bye-bye.
Bye-bye.